Good morning. When I went to upload this presentation, my spot was taken by Russ. So unbeknownst to him, I deleted his. So. So I am going to talk a little bit this morning. I'm going to try to move pretty quickly on spatial temporal patterns and dispersal stink bugs and some agricultural landscapes. Which one of these goes forward? This one? We were asking two main questions. Where are the stink bugs and where are they going in space and time in these agricultural landscapes? The second question we were trying to address was what biologically based pest management strategies can we strategically place in these systems that will exploit these behavioral tendencies of the stink bugs? I'm going to address this morning just the first question. The second question will be addressed later by some of my colleagues. In the southeast, particularly in Georgia, there are three main dominant species, the southern green stink bug, Nasera viridula, the brown stink bug, Eucystis cervus, and the green stink bug, Acrosternum hilare. Fortunately for the research scientists in Georgia, we have all three species there in a lot of our crops. The growers don't particularly like it, but this is a good place to do stink bug research. We have all three species right there in sorghum, corn, cotton, peanuts, all kinds of things. Stink bugs oviposit on cotton leaves, and then the first and second instars generally remain on the leaf in which the egg mass is laid, and then the third instars begin to move, searching for and eventually feeding on the bolls. Stink bugs feed on developing seeds and lint of the bolls, causing the shedding of newly formed bolls, yellowing of lint, and reduction in yields. And Philip Roberts will be talking to you a little bit more about what happens in cotton a little bit later. One of the first questions we had, are there stink bugs in peanuts? Because stink bugs mainly feed on seeds and immature fruit, thus peanuts seem like an unlikely candidate as a host plant for stink bugs. But when we started sweeping for insects in peanuts, we found all the developmental stages were present in peanuts, including eggs. So there were eggs all the way through adults, and we found similar results for Eucystis cervus. We did a lab study looking at what part of the peanut plant the stink bugs feed on, and we found that first instars actually do feed, and they feed on the leaflets. The second instars fed mainly on petioles, and the older instars and the adults fed mainly on the stems. And I had the great experience of being able to give a talk at the Brazilian Congress of Entomology in August. And after I gave this talk, Antonio asked me, he said, do stink bugs develop to adults on peanuts? And I was going, yeah, I really think they do, because we're finding all developmental stages in there in the peanuts, even in the middle of the field. So anyway, it got me thinking though, and I went back home and I did a live table study in the field, and what we found out was that Nasera viridula really do develop to adults from first instars on peanuts. So peanuts are definitely a reproductive host for Nasera viridula. And the late instars and adults can and will host switch to cotton, as we'll see later, but they don't have to develop to adults. I followed the lead of Les Eiler, and I was calling associations of peanuts and cotton farmscape, peanut, cotton, farmscape. The interface I'm calling, it is the common boundary of the two crops, and the objective was to determine spatiotemporal patterns and dispersal of stink bugs and their natural enemies, because that's where my concern is, in peanut cotton farmscapes. We did grid sampling in these farmscapes, and with cotton we did drop whole plant sampling, and with peanuts we did sweep sampling. During 2007, Nasera viridula and Eucystis cervus nymphs in adults were marked in order to examine the propensity of these insects to disperse from peanuts into cotton. And we used a paint pen to color them for the date. We used a permanent marker to indicate the location. And fortunately, this works for both adults and nymphs and does not impair movement. And as far as we know, the mark can remain on the stink bug for at least 54 days. We did two different kinds of analyses to look at the spatial temporal distribution of the stink bug populations in these peanut cotton farmscapes. GIS version 9 was used to generate interpolated estimates of stink bug density by inverse distance weighting, And then these estimates were mapped using ArcMap version 9. And this was used to look at the stink bug distribution in these farmscapes over time. SADI methodology, which Tobin Northfield helped with, was used to examine the spatial aggregation of these individual stink bugs in the individual crops, and also try to determine whether these two species were spatially associated in these individual crops. And SADI shell was used for the analyses. This is a raster map of Neisseria viridia distribution in a peanut cotton farmscape in 2006. All of these raster maps are set up the same way, so I'm going to walk you through the first one, and then all the rest of them are set up the same way. This is the peanut cotton farmscape. The interface is the common boundary between the two crops. Above the interface is cotton, below the interface is peanuts. And all those dots on there refer to all our sampling locations. So you can see we did sample throughout the whole field. The X axis refers to the width of the farmscape. The Y plus refers to the length of the cotton field. And the minus Y refers to the length of the peanut fields. So once we get oriented, this is how we're going to go throughout the whole field. This is week 7. For Neisseria viridula, and as you can see, all the stink bugs are in peanuts. On the following week, most of the stink bugs are still in peanuts. Also, on one side of the peanut field, we had some poke salad, and we were observing some Neisseria viridula on this poke salad, and they may have dispersed from this poke salad into this edge of the peanut field. On week 9, these stink bugs were concentrated at the interface of the farmscape, and SADI analyses showed that stink bugs were aggregated in cotton at the interface, and both species were associated in the same part of the field. On week 10, stink bugs began they kept increasing in cotton, but again, they were concentrated mainly at the interface. By week 11, there were very high numbers of stink bugs along the interface of the farmscape, and they were aggregated in cotton. So they build up, but they still kind of remain generally along the interface. This is 2007 looking at Eschistus cervus. This is week 3. All the stink bugs are in peanuts again. On week 4, mainly in peanuts. Week 5, again, mainly in peanuts. Also, we had some chinaberry trees on one edge, and that we found Eschistus cervus in those chinaberry trees, and they may have dispersed from those chinaberry trees into that peanut field edge. On week 5, stink bugs were still mainly in peanuts. On week 6, the stink bugs had moved into the interface of the farmscape in cotton. The SADI analyses showed that they were aggregated at this interface, and both species occurred in the same part of the field. Also, stink bugs that were marked in peanuts were recaptured in cotton, demonstrating that these stink bug individuals actually did move from peanuts into cotton. Stink bugs were observed feeding on cotton bolls at this time, indicating that stink bugs moved into cotton to begin feeding on the bolls. This is one more farmscape, 2007, looking at Neisseria viridula on week 7. As you can see at the bottom of the lower edge of the peanuts, there was a cornfield, and there was a lot of activity there, stink bug activity there in the corn at that time, and they may have dispersed from corn into peanuts. There can be a seasonal succession of different host plants that's going to impact cotton. But there was corn on that edge. On week 8, most of the stink bugs were still in peanuts. And on week 9, there was a major movement of stink bugs into cotton. They were concentrated mainly along the interface of the cotton, but also there were stink bugs on one edge of this farmscape, as you can see, and there was a pecan grove there, and they did, there were a lot of Neisseria and Eschistus cervus in those pecan trees, and we suspect that they moved from those pecan trees into that edge. SADI analyses showed they were aggregated in cotton at that interface, and they were both species were occurred in the same spot. And again, laid-in stars, not only adults, but laid-in stars and adults that were marked in peanuts were recaptured in cotton. So they did move. They do move. In summary, Nazaera virulinaceous disturbis adults move into peanuts early season and then lay eggs in this crop. Stink bug nymphs feed and develop on peanuts, and some nymphs and adults that develop in peanuts move into cotton. When these nymphs and adults disperse from peanuts and cotton, they aggregate in cotton the interface of this farmscape while feeding on cotton bolls. Therefore, there's a pronounced edge effect observed in the distribution of these stink bugs as they colonize this new crop, cotton. And there's a similar dispersion of population of these two bugs when it comes to looking at corn, cotton farmscapes also. Our current research questions include, why do stink bugs disperse from one host plant to another? We've already seen that a change in quality or preference of food for feeding or oviposition can impact whether these stink bugs will move or not. For example, as corn ears dry out, stink bugs move from peanuts into peanuts or to cotton. Crop disturbance can also impact dispersal. Some of these growers come in and they'll take a tractor to apply fungicides, and if they start the tractor in the back of the field and move toward the interface, it can flush stink bugs into cotton. Also, there can be a presence of quarters within these host plant patches that impact dispersal. For example, stink bugs can move inside a cornfield along irrigation pathways. And what about long versus short distance movement? Earlier, there was a report that within 24 hours, Nazaera viridula can move across the hills and the valleys and so on for 1,000 meters into a place where rice was susceptible for feeding on stink bugs. In our peanut cotton farmscapes, though, these two species generally move from rows 1 to 16 in peanuts into row 1 of cotton. However, this year we found a Eschistus cervus female that had moved about 400 meters across a peanut field that was, the peanuts were not very well developed, and they moved across that field into a cornfield to eat on the ears of the corn. They moved into row 1 of the corn. So it appears that when adult stink bugs are searching for another host plant and or food or for reproduction, they disperse only as far as they need to find food or overpositional site. And what's the predictability of dispersal? In these peanut cotton farmscapes, it's very predictable. As soon as you get bolls on these cotton plants, the stink bugs are going to move in. If they're in peanuts, they're going to move in. Corn cotton is a little bit harder to predict because there can be a variability in the time that it takes for the corn to dry out. Also, sometimes even after the corn is dried out, they'll stay there. There'll be Dallas grass in there or something that they'll feed on. So that's a little less predictable. But we are working towards figuring all this out so that we can, you know how to manage these in these agri-ecosystems. And are there species differences? Yes, there are. It appears that Nazaera and Eschistus cervus, their dispersal behavior is very similar. But the green stink bugs are strong flyers and long flyers, and we need to do a lot more work to look at what they're doing. In conclusion, overall, what's driving the distribution and abundance of stink bugs is food quality and availability of food in space and time, mitigated by landscape structure. Thus, we must understand the farmscape ecology of these bugs and their natural enemies in order to strategically place in time and space biologically based management strategies that control these populations while conserving the natural enemies and the environment and reducing on-farm inputs. Thank you very much for coming today. You've made my day by being here. I appreciate it. We have Tom, Jeremy.
Do you recall for the insects you had marked, for the nymphs you had marked in peanuts and found in cotton, what was the greatest distance that a nymph relocated to the cotton?
That's a good question. His question is, how far did the marked nymphs move into cotton? And the answer to that is mainly row 1, but sometimes we found them on row 2. Yes, sir. Yes.
You said something, and I want to ask you about this a little more. Standard stink bug biology, the first instars in the phytologist form, do not feed.
Yes, they do.
I'm not finished. Do not feed. In this, all the work that I've done, anybody else that I've ever written, Jeffrey Lockwood, I think, on this era, talked about the fact they sit on those eggs. If you disturb them and they scatter, they die.
Yeah.
When you said the first instars feed, that's what they say. If that's true, and I want to see how you know that.
I looked at them under their microscope, and I watched them. They stuck the proboscis in there, and they were feeding.
In the eggs.
Question.
In the eggs or between the eggs?
State the question.
Oh, he wants me to restate the question. How do I know they were feeding, these first instars were feeding? We had the eggs on peanut leaflets. They went off the eggs and moved on to the peanut leaflets, and I saw their proboscis in the leaflets, and they stayed there for periods of time.
Well,
now,
that's worthy of a note. Has that been published?
Yes.
Where was that published?
Georgia Entomological Science Journal. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's in press. It's not out yet, but it's in press.
Very good.
And they may not actually get nutrition, but I'm sure they need water. I think that's the main issue right there is water. Thank you very much.